We've been talking about discovering the riches of God, and we're not changing the theme. We are taking time to reflect on some of the things that's happened in our nation, in our world. And as we look at Memorial Day, I want us to be able to take a new look at what do we do and how do we go forward? How do we deal with what's been handed to us? And what is God's direction for our lives? That's the approach that we're going to take this morning. I want to bring you to an unusual passage of Scripture found in Genesis chapter 34. Many of you may not have read this passage. Bible scholars, you probably read it and then say, oh, that's bad, but then you passed on because it looked like it may not have had any relevance or any way of just saying, wow, how do you deal with that? So I'm going to bring you to a passage of Scripture this morning. I'm going to read our text, and then I'll give you the background Scripture as we look at that today. Genesis chapter 34, verse 30 and 31. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making me obnoxious to the Canaanites and Perizzites, the people living in the land. We are few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed." But they replied, "Should he have treated our sister like a prostitute?" Go over to chapter 35, verses 1 through 3. Then God said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come and let us go up to Bethel, where we will build an altar to God, who answered me in my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone." Subject for today, moving from tragedy to triumph. You may be seated. Father, we pray you give us clarity of mind and clarity of thought as we go forth today to declare your word. Pray that you would help us, God, in all that we do to explain not my feelings, but your truth. We thank you for many, many blessings that you provided for us. And as we look at the memorials that we have today and the celebrations where we reflect on people that have served, we also need to remember where you brought us from. Because God, you brought us from a mighty, mighty long way. Bless us now. Bless our time together. Give us a heart that we might do your word. We humbly pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, I know some of you are asking, what in the world is happening in this passage? And I want to get to that passage in just a second, but we are in days, as the hymn writer said, of swift transition. That hymn that we used to sing, "Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand." We're seeing that transition now. There's nothing that you can really say that, oh, God, I know that this is not going to change and that's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only thing that can't change is God himself. Anything that man builds can either be destroyed or altered. So we have to make sure that our hope is built on something that is eternal. We have witnessed the invasion of Russia, or Russia invading the people of Ukraine, and the tragedies of war that's been prompted by pride and greed. We've witnessed another shooting in Texas. A couple of weeks ago, we were mourning the loss of people in Buffalo, New York, and now we've got more that have died because, for whatever reason, people have their own interest in mind rather than the well-being of others. So we're left with a question, and we're celebrating our freedom. And I'm just asking the question, have we sacrificed so much on the shrine of freedom that we've forgotten all about the altar of God? What happened to the altar? What happened to denying yourself and following Christ? These are times what we need to reflect on where we are and where do we go from here. Every one of us have been faced with tragedies in our life. Every one of us have had circumstances and situations, for whatever reason, it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. And you found yourself wondering, where do I go from here? How do you move from tragedy to a triumph? America is living in a day where it has to remember its past. 100 years ago, 101 years ago, on May 31st, there was a tragedy that happened that should not have happened. Tulsa, Oklahoma, where we have what we call the massacre that happened at Tulsa. On May 31st, a mob of angry racists launched an attack on the Greenwood District of Tulsa. And in the aftermath, it estimated 300 prosperous African Americans were killed. Over 1,200 homes and businesses destroyed. And there was an intentional cover-up of that event by both the state and the local government. In other words, we don't want anybody to know what we did. How did it start? Well, there was an elevator operator, a young white female, and a young teenage boy got on the elevator, and something happened. She screamed, he ran, and a mob ensued. Come to find out that the boy only stepped on her toe. And she screamed, he ran, and a mob. It's so easy for things to just get out of hand. It's so easy for situations to move to a point where now nobody is in control, the chaos has ensued, and everybody is wondering, okay, what's next? We've had COVID. We've had tragedies in our country. We've had mass shootings. We try to do things here at the church to make sure that you are secure as you worship. But you never know when something happens and then automatically there's a tragedy. There's a situation where we find ourselves, what in the world is going on? You know, Marvin Gaye made that song, but it really has a spiritual implication. What's going on? Many are asking that question now. What's going on? Do you know? Really? What's happening? Well, there is someone that knows what's going on. He's got his eye on you and me. He's concerned about where we are today, and he's more concerned about where you will be in the future. Good news is, God is the only one that can secure your future. He calls it eternal life. He calls it the joy of the Lord. He calls it abiding in Him. If you abide in Him and you pray and seek His face, God will richly reward you and grant you blessings of your heart. Amen? Won't He do it? Yes, He will. So now let's go back and let's look at another tragedy that happened about 3,800 years ago. 3,800 years ago, in a little place called Shechem, or Shechem, depending on whether you're from the north or south. But 3,800 years ago, in the 34th chapter of Genesis, it records an event that took place. Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, who was renamed Israel, just happened to be going out into the community, into the neighborhood, greeting some of the other girls. And she got raped. Tragedy. Happened at any time to anybody. Now, to make good on the issue, Shechem's father, a man by the name of Hamor, decided, well, hey, you know, you can't have this stuff happening, you know. So let's just go over and let's talk to Jacob and see if we can arrange a marriage. The boy was in love, but he didn't know how to express it. Let me just interject. A lot of times, domestic violence starts by people who don't know how to express love. It's easy for something to happen through a situation when emotions get charged up. Are y'all in the building? And we got to be aware of this. We've got to be aware of it. We've got to know that you and I, even though we say we're innocent people, you are capable of doing some of the most horrendous acts just like anyone else, with one exception. When you give God charge of your life, he's got you covered. He's got you under control. So we're seeing a tragedy. Here's Dinah, young girl, bright future, thinking things are going to work out, and all of a sudden she finds herself to be a victim of domestic violence. She finds herself to have been attacked by a sexual predator, you might say. Now Hamor saying, hey, okay, we're going to make good on this. The boy going to marry the girl. But Jacob said, hold up, not so easy. We are a different people. God has given us a covenant. We are covenant people of God. We can't just be up and marrying anybody. You know, yeah, some of y'all mama and daddies are. You don't want your child to marry just anybody, right? So he waited until his sons came from the field and discussed the matter with them. And Simeon and Levi, in particular, were furious. We're not going to accept this. We're not going to deal with this situation. Hamor had wanted to make some amends for a tragedy. He had wanted to do right. And ladies and gentlemen, you're living in a world where everybody is subject to an offense. Someone is going to do something to you that you don't like. Hello? Y'all still here? So as things happen, you got to make sure that you don't react with something called revenge. Just wait. I'm going to get you back. So the sons of Jacob, furious, should never have done this. Meanwhile, Jacob has to discuss the matter with Hamor, the father of Shechem. What's going to happen between Dinah and Shechem? So the sons of Jacob came with a scheme. Remember how Jacob used to trick people? Deceive them? Remember how he did that? We're going to see the roots now come up in the sons of Jacob. All right? We're going to see how they deal with the situation. So they tell them, hey, wait a minute. We are covenant people of Abraham, and we are under the covenant of God. We can't marry y'all because y'all are uncircumcised. If all the males are circumcised, then we can have this marriage arrangement. You'll be like us, we'll be like you, and so forth. And we can all live happily ever after. But the Bible says they did it to deceive them. They did it to deceive them. They weren't concerned about them intermarrying. They wanted revenge. Let me pause for a moment. How many times have things happened to you and you said to yourself, one way or the other, I'm going to get you. Forget all about praying. Forget all about saying, Lord, come help me deal with this situation. In the chapter 34 of Genesis, no one prayed. No mention of prayer. No mention of God's direction. As a matter of fact, there is a mention later in chapter 35 about their idols. Idols. Idols are not always these wooden things or these golden things or these silver things, these shrines that you build. Idols can be things that you set up in your heart. Jacob's sons have an idol called trickery. I'm going to get my way and I'm going to scheme to get it. An idol could be a plan that you have. It could be a route or path that you're taking. That can be your idol. Sometimes your idols can be your kids. It's easy to have an idol Because an idol is anything that you put in the place of God. So the question is, how do we get back to the altar? Now, the ultimate question that I put before you today, how do you move from tragedy to triumph? But I want to deal with this issue of idolatry. Idolatry, what's happening in our country is idolatry. Whether it comes in the form of bigotry, hatred, whether it comes in the form of sexual expression, everybody want to say, you know what, I can be what I want. And it's that shrine that we're talking about. It's that idol we're talking about. And if you say that your freedom is more important than your allegiance to God, you are tricking yourself. Let no one deceive himself. Whatever a person sows, that you will also reap. Those of you that are joining us online, you need to recognize that. You need to check yourself out and ask if you've got any idols, if you've got any shrines that you've bowed down to. So we have a tragedy that's going to take place. Jacob's sons, after everybody agreed to this circumcision covenant, the folks in the town, Hamor and Shechem, they went back and said, hey, these folks are friendly folk. You know, all we got to do is be circumcised like them, and they're going to get along with us. We can intermarry. Their cattle will be our cattle. Their wives and sons will be our sons, and we can be all live happily ever after. And they bought it. But 3 days, when the men were in pain, Simeon and Levi decided they were going to get revenge. They strapped on the sword, went into the community, killed every male. Didn't stop there. They took all the silver, all the gold. The Bible said they looted the houses. Took all the women and children captive and brought them back. Now they're standing up in front of Jacob saying, hey, we got even. Well, let me pause again for another second just to tell you, regardless of how big your gun is, somebody's got a bigger gun. I know a lot of people say, my gun, don't take my gun. Well, one of these days your gun gonna leave you or you gonna leave it. I don't know of any guns in heaven. And I certainly think that guns are useless in hell. But be that as it may, let's go back to our little tragedy that we've taken place. So we had one tragedy. Dinah, she's got to deal with. Got raped. And then she got engaged. And now her fiance is dead. She's got to live with that. No more in the scripture do you hear about Dinah and how she came through it. But I believe that if she had gone to Bethel, which was the direction of God, she would have found her freedom. And she would have found a way of getting past her tragedy. Jacob said to his sons, look, we're messed up now. These folks outnumber us. They can team up against us. And we're done. We're toast. We're history. You guys reacting to the situation, now you've made it worse. And Jacob said, basically, we don't have a future. But do you know who was listening from heaven? I'm ready to preach now. I'm ready to preach now. Do you know who overheard their conversation? And even though Jacob never mentioned anything about prayer, God started talking to him. Let me just come down your street. Have you ever been in a place that you were faced with a tragedy, you didn't know how to pray, or perhaps didn't even want to pray, but God spoke anyhow? God told Jacob, there will be a tomorrow because I'm God. Let me say to you that are dealing with situation, there will be a tomorrow because God has created it. You're not there yet. You probably got a lot of more ground to cover before you get there. But we're on our way to Bethel. How many are on your way to Bethel? I'm on my way. I'm on my way to Bethel. I'm headed toward better ground. So God said to him, Jacob, here's your solution. Here's what you need to do. Go up to Bethel. Now, how was he to know about Bethel? He knew about it because he had been there before. Sometimes we have a short memory, but a long past. I know that sounds like a, what do you mean by that? We can only remember the bad things that happened. But the same God who watched over you when you had bad days is also going to watch over you to have a few good days. Are y'all in the building? Anybody in the house today? So the Lord says to him, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. God had to remind him, remember how I watched over you? When your brother Esau was determined to kill you? Remember how I protected you? Here's God saying to you now in your life in this year of 2022 on what we call Memorial Day. God is saying, remember how I kept you. Remember how I walked with you. Some of us were so drunk that we couldn't even know that we were in the world and God kept you anyhow. Oh, I know you're sanctified today. I know it's Sunday and everything looking good, but I remember where God brought me from. I remember, as my mama said, how he picked me up and turned me around. I remember God, and I remember his promises. And I want to say to you, it is possible for you to move on if you pay attention to what God is doing in your life. The Lord gave him some specific instructions, and I want to share those with you before we close today. Some things that you got to remember in your life. You got to think about them. And I want to just say to you, when the Lord spoke to Jacob, it was to say to him, here I am. Have you ever had God to show up in your life? All of a sudden you're struck with panic and God says to you, wait a minute, here I am. I'm here. I'm available. If you call upon him, he will answer your prayer and the Lord will pick you up. Anybody in the building? So the very fact that God spoke, it spoke to the witness of the fact that he was there with them. But then as you look at the text, it said that God gave him specific instructions. In other words, you cannot stay where you are. You got to go to Bethel. That's the place where you're going to find your future and your hope. You got to go to Bethel. By the way, the word Bethel means house of God. Beit meaning house. El meaning God. Jacob had met God fleeing from his brother because he tricked him. Got his birthright and the blessing. Now he's on the run. He's on the run again, and God says to him, hey, go back to Bethel. Go back to Bethel. I want to put a plug in here. A lot of us are thinking that we can find answers at the White House. Some of us are thinking we can find answers in the House of Congress, or maybe the State House, or some other house. But the only house where you're going to get the answers is in the house of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. So let's assess this situation here now. Let's look at this situation here. Here it is, Jacob and his whole family, they're in the wrong. They did this terrible act. They committed this atrocity. Yes, what was done to Dinah was wrong, but I guarantee you there was another way of dealing with it. Yes, some of the things that's happening in your life or has happened, it was wrong. No matter which way you turn it, no matter which way you shake it up, it still comes out, oh, that's wrong, that's messed up. But you don't have to live in your mess up. You can live in God's fix up. I like that. You don't have to live in the past and your failure and your mistakes and everything that went down, man, for the rest of my life. I ain't gonna never forget about it. Forget about it. Because God will give you enough grace, enough power, enough willingness to say, I'm gonna put that behind me. So the Lord said, go to Bethel. Don't seek refuge in any other place. Don't wander down to Egypt. Don't go where you want to in my life. I do what I want. Don't you love it when kids stand up and tell you, I'm 21 now. And you tell them, oh, so you can count. Okay. 21 don't mean a thing if you don't have a life plan that's been revealed to you by God. Because how many of y'all know life gets tough sometimes? So the Lord gave him specific instructions, said, okay, you got to get out of here. You cannot stay where you are. But the Lord also says to them something like this. Go back, build an altar. Look at that. Build an altar. And I'm going to tell you, the altar is not this church building. The altar is not this little table up here. It represents something. But that's not the real altar. The altar is built on the inside of you. So Jacob, he goes to his family and says, hey, got an answer from God. Here's what we need to do. The Lord's going to direct us. Got an answer from him. Here's what we need to do. But before we go to Bethel, get rid of your idols. Look at it. Let's take the idols and let's put them out of our lives. Idols had caused Shechem to commit his act against Dinah. Idols and idolatry had caused Simeon and Levi to attack the people of Shechem. Now, if they'd attacked Shechem, you might say, well, he got what was coming. But the other people, everybody else, let's talk about the idol of anger. Can we do that? Just for a second. I'm going to put my religion on the side. I'm just mad. So here we go fight. And you're hitting everybody. Some of us, we don't fight physically. We fight with our mouth. Boy, if you could ever get control to that mouth, that tongue you got. If you could ever just put that thing under reins. So I ain't gonna say that no more. Somebody said to me, it's better to close your mouth and be thought to be a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. That's a pretty good saying, isn't it? They have to get rid of the idols in order for them to proceed to Bethel. Jacob was not a preacher, he's not a prophet. But he is a covenant member of God's family because God adopted him. You're in this faith not because of the great things that you've done, but because of the great God who loved you. Well, I wish I could preach like I feel today. The mercy of God, the goodness of God. Was Jacob wrong? Yeah. What was Simeon and Levi wrong? Yes, they were dead wrong. Had they changed? Probably not. But they're getting ready to go up to Bethel. As you and I proceed from this day, what we call Memorial Day in our celebration, we've got to make a decision in our mind. How do I move on to a Bethel in my life? How can I find a refuge in God and know that he's my way maker, my burden bearer, my friend when I don't have a friend, my hope for the future? Here's how you do it. I want to give you couple of things before we close. First of all, you got to make sure that you're not set out for revenge on people that you meet. What will getting even get you except for the satisfaction I got them back? What will it do for you? Think about that. Then you got to make sure that you are not doing worse to other people than what they've done to you. I learned that when you love Jesus a whole lot, you can let stuff go. Because you know what? As long as you're still living, you got a blessing waiting on you. Jesus said, for those who suffer for righteousness' sake, he said, blessed are you. Don't keep looking back at your past. Don't keep looking back. Well, that should have never happened. It did happen. Get over it. And the way that you get over it is get to the altar. The way that you can say, now I'm grateful because in the process, God was molding me, God was shaping me, and getting me ready for my blessing. You never know how God's going to bless you. Somebody said his blessings sometimes come in plain wrappers. Are you with me? Sometimes the enemy delivers God's blessing to your footstep. But you got to shut your mouth and learn how to accept it. How's that? Three things I want to give you before we close today. What did God give to Jacob when he was running away? How did the Lord plan for his life? First of all, write this down. God wanted Jacob's life to take a new course. He wanted Jacob's life to take a new course. And that is, go to Bethel, the place where I met you before. But this time, instead of you setting up a few rocks, I want you to set up an altar. When Jacob was running from his brother Esau, he simply put some stones to say, I'm going to remember this place. And what did he do? He forgot all about it. But when you build an altar, that altar makes the difference in your life. An altar is a place where you learn to sacrifice things. If you got things that need to be sacrificed, like remember that anger we talked about? If you bring that anger to the altar, God's going to replace it with something. Lord said, let me take that. And you take this. He replaces your anger with kindness. He replaces your frustration with peace. God gives you the wonderful things of God, but you got to bring it to the altar. And that altar is a place in your life. God wanted his life to take a new course. God wanted him to be on a new direction for his life. I want you today to take a new course in your life. Don't be like everybody else in the nation. Everybody frustrated. Everybody flying off the handle. You just walk around with a smile on your face and say to yourself, you know what? I know this is bad, but God's got a brighter day coming. He's got a brighter future if we just depend upon him. The second thing that God did for Jacob, God gave Jacob a place of refuge. Bethel was the place where God was going to send him. But Bethel would also be the place where God was going to protect him. How many of y'all have said it to yourself, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? But do you not know the primary reason why you need a shepherd? It's for protection. Stuff is going to happen. Things are going to happen in life with or without your approval. Well, I didn't ask for that. Hey, you got it, though. And what you have to say is, the Lord is my shepherd. So I got a place in his fold that no matter what happens, I know that God is going to protect me. Even when bad things happen, I'm still going to say, the Lord is my shepherd. He found in God a place of refuge. Psalm 46 in verse 1, a good verse for you to remember. God is our refuge and strength, a very what? Present help. I like that. That's Rebecca's favorite scripture. He's a very present help. That doesn't mean that, well, he's going to come when he get ready. No, he said he's a present help. If you depend on him, the Lord is right there. If you call on him, God will hear your prayer. When you're in danger, you don't have to worry about it. Well, where is the Lord? The Lord is right there fighting the battle for you. Keep moving. Look at somebody. Tell them, keep moving. Keep moving. Go to Bethel. We got some place to go. We got some place to go. We got a place and we got a person that is calling us to go forward. And the last thing that we want to share with you, the third thing that happened, not only Jacob finding a place of refuge and God giving him a new direction, but also he was to build an altar. Now, that's your part. That's where you come in. Well, I ain't got time to worship God today. I got stuff to do. Well, let me get this straight. Your highest priority in life is stuff to do versus the God who gives you breath to do it. Let me get this straight now. You're saying you don't have time for God and your next heartbeat depends on his grace. I'm not perfect, but I know one thing. I'm going to give him thanks. I'm going to recognize where the Lord has brought me from because I know that I can't even walk unless he holds my hand. Anybody witnessing in the building? Anybody want to testify to the goodness of the Lord? Yes, Lord, I'm thankful that I can build. I want to take time for God. Because if you don't take time for God, the idol is going to move its way into your life. It's going to shift into your life. Next thing you know, you got idols all every place. But when you take time for God, and when you say, Lord, I need thee every day and every hour. Oh, saints, we got to build our hope on things eternal. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. You're in a world now where folks will do stuff to you. But because he walks with you, he talks with you, and tells you that you are his own, you can walk with confidence. Everybody say, confidence. I know that my Redeemer lives. Confidence. I know that God can make a way out of no way. Confidence. I know that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Confidence. Everybody getting shaken up and talking about what this and what that's happening. I know a God that walks beside you. I know a God that still works miracles. I know a God that still has mercy on sinners. You're looking at one right here, and the Lord had mercy on me. Tragedies will come in your life, but make sure you go directly to the altar. Go directly to him and call upon him, for he will answer and hear your prayer. What happened at Bethel, or what happened at that community of Shechem should never happen, but it did. And yet God used Jacob and his family, but he had to change them. Are y'all still here? I know it's getting late. Your chicken is on the stove. But hold on just another minute. I'm getting ready to close. Look at us about that. Reverend Coleman getting ready to close. When you get to Bethel, things change. So when you read the history of Israel, yes, that happened, but God had another plan for that nation. Not to go around killing folk, but to be a witness. Do you not realize that that nation or that family became a nation, the 12 tribes, including Simeon and Levi? As a matter of fact, Levi became the priest. Lord have mercy. Now, if you're going to make preachers out of them, well, what can God do in your life today? Have mercy, somebody. Yet God used them. But they had to arrive at Bethel for things to change. The Lord wrestled with Jacob until he changed his name from Jacob, heel grabber, deceiver, changed his name to Israel. God's got a change of names for you. It's called child of God. Amen. Not child of trouble. Not child of every situation. It's called child of God. And he loves you dearly. But you got to go to Bethel to find it out. Close with these points. First one, if you're going to walk out of here, I want you to realize that tragedies do happen in life, but God also is on the scene. You know, first thing that happened, people call 911. 911 might not always be as swift as you need them, right? House on fire, call the fire department. They're going to do their best, but they travel in this engine that got to take water. But you got a God who's right there with you anyhow. Somebody say you can call him up and tell him what you want. Lord, my house on fire. Never know the things he has in store for you. Tragedies are going to happen, but remember that God will lead you through those tragedies. And then the second thing, don't complicate tragedies or those tragic moments by seeking your own way. Seek God. God was saying to him, look, if you stay here in the situation that you're in right now, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But if you go up to Bethel, like I tell you, it's going to get better. Move on with your life. I don't know what you're facing today, and I certainly, if I know, I don't know how to deal with it. But if you could just get out of that state of mind and move on to Bethel, you're going to be all right. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. Lord have mercy, I'm going to be all right. And then, lastly, look to the Lord and allow him to lead you from your tragedies to triumph. The verse says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. What did that mean? And what did that mean for Jacob? An interesting thing happened when they got on the road to go to Bethel. Jacob thinking, man, them people are going to team up. They're going to, the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Electric Lights, and Shilites. All them folk going to team up, and they're going to kill us. But the Bible says in Genesis 35 and verse 5, nobody followed them. They looked back, and Jesse, they didn't see any enemies. Why? Verse 35 says the Lord put his fear into the enemy's heart to where they did not pursue Jacob. Read it. Read it. Some of y'all looking back and you got such a bad conscience. Well, I wonder who's going to get me now. I know I do it wrong, and I know they're after. They ain't after you if you're after Jesus. And if you're after Jesus, they can't catch you. MC Hammer said, can't touch this. Yeah, they can't touch you because you're into Christ. You're into the love of Jesus. Never think that your enemies can harm you when you're in the arms of God. You're under his protection. Now, get to Bethel and live. Shall we pray? Father, thank you. Thank you for the challenge that we have this morning. Some of us are still living in an area of heartbreak, wrong, bad situations. You told us through your word how we have to move from there. We can't keep revenge in our hearts forever. And Lord, I pray that today you'd speak to those troubled minds. Help them to understand that there is a place of grace. There is a place of mercy. There is a place of goodness. And it abides in you. And Lord, as the singers just sung this morning, the Cunninghams, won't he do it? Yes, he will. Bless us all to be drawn to you, that we might find favor in your sight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give the invitation. There might be someone online or in here that you've never surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you don't even know what that means. It simply means that you're surrendering your life to God and asking him to take charge of your life. I know you might be saying to yourself, I got it, I got it. Well, if you got it, why are you in the shape you're in? If you really need it, God's got it. Seek him today. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com, and we'll love to correspond with you and help you to find more information about the grace of God. If you're in here, you can simply come to the altar and we'll pray with you, and you can be comforted in knowing I'm on my way to Bethel. Any Bethel folks in here today? Come on, give a shout out. Amen, amen. Let's all stand. Falling in love with Jesus. Oh, yeah, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I have ever done. Whoa, in his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, I'm never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. It's the best place I have ever been. Whoa, falling in love. Come on, let me hear you, saints. Yes, falling in love with Jesus. How many of y'all can testify today? Falling in love with Jesus. Jesus is the best thing I have ever done. Amen. God bless you. We're going to call on Reverend Anderson to dismiss us in prayer. How many of y'all learned something today? Don't get revenge. Get God. Amen. Get God. Stay with Him. Stay close to the Lord. And walk with Him. Amen. Amen. Reverend Anderson.
The church say amen. Amen. Let us pray. Most wise and eternal God, we thank you for the message today, oh God. We thank you for the shepherd that presented your word. Now, Lord, we ask that you would just bless each individual that is here today, whether here and present or online. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and for all that you're doing in our lives. Father, lead us to that place of Bethany, that we may know you are God and you change not. Lord, as we prepare now to go our separate ways, go before us and make the crooked ways straight, that we may walk according to your will and do your service for your people. We ask these blessing petitions in the precious name of Jesus Christ, him crucified, and let all the blood-washed believers declare, amen, amen, amen. Amen.